The Squawker Talker is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. It's the betting site for all sports punters with great odds, markets, and offers. Listeners to this podcast can now get up to £60 deposit matched when you use the promo code Squawker60. Just visit betonbrazil.com and enter the promo code Squawker60 when you deposit, and we will match your deposit up to £60. Also, look out for our daily happy hour offers between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Bet on Brazil is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please gamble responsibly.
Welcome everyone to the Squawker Talker review of 2016. What a year it's been. To join me, Greg Johnson, your host, might as well add that in right now, is Mohamed Butt. He's back on the pod. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good, and I'm wearing a hood because it's cold in there.
It is cold. It is winter. Winter is typically the end of the year.
Winter has come.
How has been the year been for you so far?
Been interesting, really. Lots of good moments, lots of very bad moments, you know. But personally, it's been a great year for me.
Fantastic. So. We'll get onto all that soon. James Bench from the London Evening Standard is here again.
It's a pleasure to be back. I mean, again and again and again.
How's the temperature for you today?
I quite like it quite cold. I don't even turn the heating on in my apartment, in my house. I'm very unpopular.
In your apartment?
An apartment, is it? It's a house. It's a house I share with four other 20-something men, and we can't keep it tidy because we're a mess.
It sounds like a penthouse. James McManus is also here. How are you doing?
Good. I don't know how I follow those two elaborate intros. It is freezing.
Just do a Noddy Holden, just shout, it's Christmas, and we're all just...
Nah, mate.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. You've got the beard. You have got the beard. But how will you remember the football year that was 2016, man?
But post-truth, just like in the real world, it's the year of post-truth in football.
This is meant to be a kind of light-hearted take, you know?
Oh, it's light-hearted, don't worry, it's pretty funny. You know, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, you know, a fantastic club size. Germany, Italy, really, really good at Euro 2016. Did they win anything? Did they win the big prizes? No. Real Madrid and Portugal, utterly discombobulated, disorganised teams. You know, they walked away with the two biggest prizes in football. You know, Real Madrid haven't lost in like about 100 games, it seems. What is logic? What is sense? No, it's post-truth in football this year, mate. That's how I remember 2016.
Wow. Post-truth in football? James, what was your...
It's a hard act to follow, but I guess mine kind of comes under the same umbrella of... But, I mean, you know, maybe more of a right-wing perspective on it. Not that I am. Not that I am.
Seriously, this is meant to be like the kind of a side-eye take on the year.
This has been the... it's been the year of the underdog, and some of those tales have been... the most fantastically romantic of football's history. You know, Leicester City, I don't think any of us will ever forget, even now as we're back to bashing them and saying, oh, sack Ranieri and bring in Ian Dowie.
Oh, the Tinkerman's back.
And then, I mean, some of them have been, so some of them have been a great news story. Some of them been a bit more Trump, a bit more Farage. You know, as Mohamed said, Portugal winning Euro 2016, despite the fact they finished third in their group. Fills me with outrage and indignation, because what is the point of having a tournament if you can't win any group games and still get to lift the trophy?
Are you calling them the UKIPers of international football?
Accidentally, that just happened.
No, to all my Portuguese friends, I'm delighted for you that your country got to win a deserved victory tournament, even though I think in your hearts you know
that
you really should have, yeah, and you should have polished off that group much more convincingly than you did. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, underdogs. Some of them are good dogs, and some of them are bad dogs.
Some of them need to go into the kennel. But James, what was your? How will you remember the football year that was 2016?
Not to elaborate on the underdog, but I'm not going to touch the UKIP bit with a barge pole. But it's the year of Leicester, isn't it? People will look back in 30 years and be like, "What the hell happened here?" Because everyone's richer. Everyone's got more resource. The top few clubs in the world and the Premier League dominate, and just this team with Wes Morgan at centre half won the league. What?
His speech for Sports Person of the Year when they won Team of the Year was dreadful. It was the most cliche ridden thing I've ever heard.
I think he watched Any Given Sunday before he did it.
He didn't live and die for that inch on the stage, though, which was a shame. But I mean, there's also been some other great moments. Less funny, more just, you know, momentous. Wenger celebrated his wonderful landmark 20-year anniversary of being appointed Arsenal manager, James.
Yeah, he did, and he celebrated it in classic Arsene Wenger fashion by doing the same thing he's been doing for the past 10 years. I'm just so incredibly bored by Arsenal right now and bored by Arsenal fan TV. It's the same old story, and it's amazing to think that probably the only thing that didn't radically change in 2016 was Arsenal. They managed to do the exact same thing as everyone else, which in a way you could say gives us hope for 2017. You know, there's all this stability in the year, instability in the years to come, but at least we know Arsenal finished somewhere between second and fourth.
So you don't think Claude and Ty could be the solution to the
the Houdier Evans joint manager?
I think more for the problems in the world. You're saying there's instability in the world, that they're not the guys to come in and sort it.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see Ty given a go, because what we need right now is a bit of positivity. But yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing. Mm. If we're wondering what we can export, let's get Ty in on this. Ty will know.
It's also been the 1 year anniversary of Jurgen Klopp's arrival in the Premier League. I mean, what has he offered to English football since his arrival from Germany?
I mean, I've said this before, but Liverpool haven't had a grown up in charge for quite a number of years. It's all been idealism or hangs back to the past every time. Actually got a sensible manager in charge who routinely takes the mickey out of the media, refuses to talk to Sun journalists, plays good attacking football, cleared out the deadwood, which has kind of been sort of rotted with earworm. Is it earworm?
It can be.
Earwigs?
Woodworm.
Earworm. That sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Wood lice?
Star Trek. Yeah, there's some sort of bug that does something to wood, so I'm not entirely sure which one it is.
But, termites.
Termites, yes. You and that is what Markovic and Balotelli have been at Liverpool. Wow. And that's what a lot of... Is that a bit harsh? It might be a little
I thought
bit.
I'd gone far on Nico. I mean, and you know...
You've dehumanised the poor lads.
To defend one of the... you say Liverpool have not had a grown-up manager in a while, but, I mean, Roy Hodgson is... Whatever you say of him, he's a grown-up manager.
He's the uncle who gives you Werther's originals. He's not a grown-up. He's the guy you keep... He lives in a treehouse. you see on Boxing Day once a year, and that's enough for the family.
But his Werther originals have become sour and bitter after staying in his pocket for too long. That's the issue. We're going to look back again now to the year that was, and I want to know, what was your funny football moment of 2016, James?
I have two.
Ooh.
I think I only find one of them actually funny.
Okay.
But number one was when Kay Kamara got booked for twerking after a goal celebration in the MLS. That's one I don't very much find funny, but someone may out there.
Very, very, very. That's actually your gift for Christmas.
That is, yes. It's a twerking gift for Christmas. And the second one was when, I don't know if you remember during the Euros, Switzerland's shirts, Puma shirts, just kept ripping all the time. Mm. Every game they'd have two or three would rip. Sheldon Shaqiri said, "I hope Puma do not produce condoms."
Which, good statement.
Yeah, which does what it says on the tin there.
Mm, I don't know what the birth rate's like in Switzerland at the moment. But moving on, what has been your funny football moment of 2016, James?
I mean, it starts and ends with Alan Pardew, doesn't it? And obviously, that dance in the FA Cup final. And, I mean, I was, you know, when you asked me to come up with this, I went back and I watched the video, and you kind of remember it as just this stupid dance, but there's so many layers to it.
The intensity on his face.
So it goes from that sort of initial beautiful, like, and you can't help but be moved by the shock of, you know, a man who is Crystal Palace through and through, whatever you think of him, seeing the team he's managing scoring the winning goal in the FA Cup final. And then you look in his eyes and you see this kind of, you know, this like Alexander the Great, he's looking upon his work and seeing that there's no more kingdoms left to conquer. The England job, it's in the bag now. That's done. You know, Europa League next season, Champions League the year after when he wins it. And then he starts dancing like Drake like he's been watching Hotline Bling for 45 hours.
Do you think there's a point though where his face goes from, "I'm going to do this," to, "I've gone a bit too far here, but now I've got to commit and just go with it. The camera's
on me."
I mean,
that is the Alan Pardew of 2016, isn't it? "I'm going to do it. Oh, I've gone too far, but I'm going to have to ride this out."
It's just the Alan Pardew all his whole life, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I do feel he's a lovely man and a great manager, but unfortunately, I think his career will forever be defined by that dance.
It's been a bad year for results, but a great year for Pardew banter, you could say.
Yes, but as Mo said, isn't every year for Pardew.
Very good point.
Steve Parrish is not going to take that well.
Well, moving on. We haven't got Steve Parish here, but we do have Mo Bull. What has been your funny football moment?
Like Mac, I have two. One is Sergio Ramos almost getting killed by a tree during Real Madrid's Champions League title celebrations.
That's just funny. That's terrible.
His look on his face was hilarious. He's sitting there, oh, wait, a branch, quick. And he it's just like something out of a slapstick comedy. Mm. And his reaction was priceless. He was like, oh, that was close. almost like Arrested Development, like he's winking to the camera. But the funniest moment for me has to be Lionel Messi, the greatest player in the world, possibly the greatest player in history.
And spot who's most supportive.
Dying his hair blonde.
Hit by a tree.
Like an absolute idiot. Just walking, you're used to great football players, the greatest players looking like almost regal, sometimes looking gritty and this guy walks out looking like he owns a cereal bar in Shoreditch, and you're just like, what are you doing?
It's disappointing when, top players turn out to be Burks, isn't it?
Like, what are you doing? I know you're upset lost.
Aaron Ramsey, fair enough. Like, you expect it's Aaron Ramsey, but not Messi.
Oh, that Aaron Ramsey graph, though, of his hair, cut into his hair. Oh, this is...
Oh, God.
You need to find it on Twitter, because otherwise you have a clue what I'm talking about. But the way that Aaron Ramsey's haircut perfectly reflects... Every Arsenal season was quite
tapered
special.
Off quite badly.
Well, speaking of Burks in football, we're now going to move to a football personality of the year. I didn't ask who your favourite player was, your best player was. Everyone does that. It's boring. I want to know, it could be footballers or other football figures from around the game that are kind of stuck in your mind for whatever reason in 2016. Mr. Bonge, Mr. James Benge, I'm going to come to you first.
It starts and it ends with the king. Claudio Ranieri, the King of Rome. He's just been brilliant. We're at the London Evening Standard. We're kind of paid to not cover Leicester City, but you couldn't help yourself because everything he said was brilliant. I was at, what I kind of maintain is the game of the year, Arsenal 2, Leicester 1. And the way he sort of took that victory was such magnanimity.
He lost, yeah.
That defeat was such grace. And he'd said beforehand, hadn't he? Like, if they win these three games against Man City, Liverpool, and Arsenal, they're off on holiday. And he still sent them on holiday, and it was brilliant. And dilly ding ding dilly dong, and all of that. He's the only person this year that of a major sort of leader of a. Of a new organisation that keep being in the news that's actually made me smile. And Claudio, if you're listening, which you aren't, just thank you, because I think you've made all football fans smile this year.
I know we talked about the moments, but when they got Bocelli in to sing and they did that was one of the best orchestrated kind of...
It was just so ridiculous. It was like, what are they going to do next? Of course they're going to do that. Brilliant.
It's beautiful. I don't think you can top that as a trophy winning celebration.
Really.
Yeah. And everyone said, they'd never won before, they're going to muck it up. And then they didn't. They absolutely smashed it. I don't know if Andrea Bocelli's going to be your personality of the year, but who is, Mo?
Sergio Ramos. No. Going back to Ramos again. Because this is a guy, he's just... to go run with my post-truth theme of 2016, this is a guy who's obviously a world-class learner, but just has made countless mistakes this year. Just, making ridiculous decisions, acting like a 20-year-old defender again. But then also late goals, just everywhere. Won the Champions League for Real Madrid, won the UEFA Super Cup for Real Madrid, won the Clasico for Real Madrid, or drew the Clasico, which effectively with Madrid's league was a win. Just constantly just showing up to rescue Real Madrid in their time of need. It's like, this is a defender. This is not a striker. This is not a midfielder. This is not Cristiano Ronaldo with his 7 million goals for Real Madrid. This is a defender. Mm. And he's just constantly there when they need him in attack. It's Ramos. Got to be.
Mm. James, who's your personality of the year?
I'm going to go for the Premier League's biggest troll. It's Eden Hazard.
Oh.
Hey.
Basically, because he was pretty much quit playing football as a professional under Jose Mourinho to try and engineer him to get the sack. Didn't like him anymore. Hadn't scored a league goal by April. Denies Tottenham the title, which was pretty funny at the time, considering how much better they were. Clearly the best team in the league. Now under a new manager again, a slightly different role, he's back to being world class. So it would be the Premier League's biggest troll in Hazard.
Fair enough. I mean, maybe this might answer my next question, which there are kind of inverted quotation marks all over this question. But what has been your narrative of the year, James?
We mentioned the Euros earlier, but international tournaments are just pointless now. They're just pointless things to do in every 2 years. I mean, if like James mentioned, Portugal finished third, qualified from their group and won the tournament. it's going to be even worse at a 48-team World Cup. The next two World Cups are at Russia and Qatar. No one really wants to go to them. Euros are going to be split around multiple cities, multiple countries, so you're losing that sort of vibe, which kicks off a tournament. International tournaments have completely had their day.
So your narrative for the year is international football's rubbish.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, but we'll continue to be so with no turning back.
I must admit, the reaction every time there's an international break these days does kind of sum it up, isn't it? Going, oh, another one. Oh.
Great time to book annual leave.
Very true.
My
top tip for any journalist listening here, international break, take yourself on an international break. I visited Florence, I visited Copenhagen, and I didn't miss any football.
Beautiful. Mo, what has been your narrative of the year?
Well, narrative in capitals, in quotation marks, underlined, 72 size font.
You're going with formatting.
Claudio Ranieri's revenge.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, because this is the thing. The post-truth theme of 2016, I think, holds. But Leicester's win was completely anti to that because they deserved it. They weren't the best teams. Tottenham were the best team in the Premier League, but Leicester were absolutely brilliant. They won big games. Arsenal were the only team they couldn't figure out. Mm. They lost them twice. Everyone else, they figured it out. And you can argue the big teams didn't play well and they all shot themselves on the foot. Doesn't matter. You have to beat what's in front of you. Leicester constantly beat what was in front of them. Just over and over again, Leicester were just absolutely magnificent. And it was Claudio Ranieri, his revenge over Jose Mourinho. Won the title against the Jose Mourinho team. Humiliated Mourinho, beat Mourinho, got Mourinho the sack, I think it was.
Do you think Ranieri does revenge and humiliation though?
Oh no! He's such a lovely man. He would just be like, no, he wants to win the title. Just very happy, very nice guy. But nevertheless, it happened. All the ducks lined up perfectly. He had the guard of honor at each other. They gave him a bigger applause at Stamford Bridge. He'd vanquished Mourinho. The same season Mourinho got the sack. And
he was sacked after the Leicester.
And Claudio Ranieri wins the league title. It's perfect, absolutely. After all the genuinely horrible things Mourinho said about Claudio Ranieri, for him to just have that moment, and it was perfect because they really deserved it. They were so good. So
you had a negative narrative from Macca, and a kind of more positive, a narrative of redemption.
I think that pretty much sums up, both of our outlooks on life. Right?
Well, we're going to the third
option
now.
It's safer to be negative, isn't it?
James Bench, are you going to go a bit meta with us? Because, I mean, in some ways, the narrative is that narrative doesn't have a narrative.
Well, so, yeah, we were talking about the fact that...
Yeah. About to get deep on this one.
Yeah, we were talking about the fact that I wasn't really sure what a narrative meant. But now I've decided to go deeper than that because I'm not really sure what football means anymore. I guess part of this comes down to the fact that I just wonder if football fans now actually want to watch football, or if watching a game is one of the least interesting parts of football for a lot of fans. They'd rather sort of play the game beforehand on FIFA. We all know here that the busiest time for football, for the football industry in this country, is when no football is happening during the summer transfer window, because people are only interested in their teams buying players, not how the players actually play. I might be being really harsh to football fans here, but when you kind of factor all that in with everywhere this sort of declining viewership of football, and I know that there's a sort of streaming culture that isn't being recorded anywhere, but you do just get this feeling now that like actually playing football matches is just quite inconvenient for the product that football is.
Yeah.
And we've just got this world of sort of behind the scenes Snapchats and linking up with your car firm or your official betting partner or your official mattress partner in Thailand but not Vietnam. And I've got the feeling that maybe by 2020 it'll just be like, let's just turn all of this into what is inevitably meant to be a Spanish language telenovela. And that's what football will become.
This is your narrative of the future.
Football is dying, basically.
Yeah, football on football on the pitch. Just, it's not what fans are interested in.
Oh dear. I don't know where we go from here.
Merry Christmas.
If you're feeling happy about the festive season, don't.
Basically, because, if you've seen the film Mad Max Fury Road, imagine that in a football context, that's 2030.
So that is what I think the film was missing, so I'm actually going for that. There was not enough football. But we're going to move on now. Well, that's the future sorted. It's a little bit like, a Christmas carol. We've seen the future. It's not very nice. Let's change our ways. Let's change our ways and make it better future. Yes. But now we're going to go to the ghost of football's Christmas present. And if you could pick one of these things to sum up 2016, we've got how many? We've got six things. So this is a little bit of a segment, listeners. Oh, yes. We're going to start with the goal for you, Mo, to sum up 2016.
Sergio Ramos winning in the Champions League final for Real Madrid, because here's it's Sergio Ramos in a big game, but he's offside. He's like a mile offside.
Are you going to say this is a post-truth match winner?
Well, exactly. That's exactly the point. You know, it's a ridiculous goal. No one, he's 5 yards offside. No one was like, oh my God, it's an outrage. Even Atletico Madrid were not like, oh my God, it's an outrage. Everyone was just like, yeah, okay.
That's what he does.
Just accepted it. And so to me, that was the goal but the goal that summed up 2016 the most. It was just offside goal in the Champions League final that no one really bothered to complain about. Like, blatantly offside as well. It was ridiculous.
James, your goal to sum up 2016?
Oh, I'm being lazy, but Eden Hazard against Tottenham.
I've gone Hal Robson-Kanu against Belgium.
Oh, yes.
So it was a pretty ridiculous move from a championship-level player. And straight after the tournament, he thought he'd have loads of offers coming in. I think he forgot he was called Hal Robson-Kanu.
He did look like Romario, though, didn't he, doing that?
It was ridiculous, but now he plays barely plays for West Brom. So if we're going back onto the negative, as we started as a high, we all enjoyed June, July, but...
On that note, match of the year that summed up the year for you, James.
I don't know if you remember this. England 1, Iceland 2.
Oh.
No.
A cracker of a game.
Mm.
Everything about 2016 and the way it let you down is perfectly articulated in that game.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Mo, your match to sum up 2016.
My favourite actual match was probably the 2016 Copa del Rey final. But I mean, to sum up 2016, it's the 2016 Champions League final. Atletico Madrid are the best team in the world. They've just beaten the other two best teams in the world to get here. Vanquished Messi, vanquished Neymar, Suarez, Luis Enrique, Guardiola, Lewandowski, Muller. Come up against this Real Madrid side that barely scraped past a terrible Man City side with an own goal and lost.
Frozen in time.
Pure post-truth.
Which is pretty much what I asked for, to be fair. So
Pure post-truth.
Fair enough. James, your match of 2016. Sum it up.
I think it's probably the best Premier League game we've seen in a few years. It's not between two general rivals, but Norwich 4, Liverpool 5 gone with. Because Norwich got a 91st minute equaliser, and Liverpool scored literally last kick of the game. Mm. And Jurgen Klopp lost his glasses. But I mean, all the best 12 goal throwers, 9 goal throwers usually involve Liverpool because
Liverpool Dortmund
chronically terrible at the back.
Mm.
It's just a structural issue from top to bottom. Doesn't matter who you put in there. That you could put Beckenbauer. Well, I mean, Beckenbauer would probably be a bit better than Klavan at times. Yeah,
but Ragnar Klavan was all right last night.
Yeah, he was good against Everton, to be fair. But I mean, it's best he's played yet. But yes, go back to the original question: Liverpool battering Norwich by one goal deficit.
Very nice. I mean, obviously, there's been a few more of those recently. Swansea versus Crystal Palace. The game that Guardiola said summed up English football. For
Liverpool
him.
Bournemouth again the other way that time.
Mm. Bournemouth-ball? Istanbul? No, it doesn't work, that one. Does not work on that one.
No, it really doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. But, I mean, interesting that no one picked the final of Euro 2016, the match where the future Ballon d'Or winner was taken off early and then kind of humble team effort won it in the end with Eder, who, where's he now? If you want a post-match tournament winner.
It was a toss-up between the two of them, and I went for the
you've made your choice now, Mo. You cannot change it.
I don't want to change it. I went for the Real Madrid one because I just thought the offside goal really just added the extra sheen of post-truth to it.
Fair enough. I want to know your quote to sum up 2016 in a football context. Let's not go back to the UKIPs and the Trumps. Let's James.
I haven't necessarily got a quote to sum up 2016, so I'm just going to give you my favourite. And I don't actually.
You're going to give us a quote from yourself.
I don't actually exactly remember how it transpires, but Arsene Wenger approaching his 20th anniversary, which, as we said, that was a monumental achievement. As he is wont to do, and it's great when he does, he got all philosophical about it and started talking about what will happen when he gets to the pearly gates and meets Saint Nick, and they'll say, "What did you do?" And he said, "I tried to win football matches." And then Saint Nick will sort of say, "How did it go?" And it was harder than it looks. I think that Arsene Wenger there not just summed up 1996 to sort of 2016. That quote may be kind of not exactly how he said it, but I think he summed up 20 years there quite nicely.
I think you've encapsulated the spirit.
That was the spirit of Arsene.
That was a nice quote, I have to say.
What was your quote to sum up 2016, man?
This is when Real Madrid lost 2-0 to Wolfsburg, right?
I'm seeing a thread to a lot of these answers.
It's post-truth, man. Zidane came out and said, I could have changed other players.
Are we going to have a buzzer for every time Mo says post-truth now?
I could have changed other players. Nothing to do with Luka, but I had to change something. Then we took off Tony, put in James. You just want to see how things will change. Nothing else. This is the manager of a club. He doesn't actually have an idea of what he's trying to do when he puts on a player. He just thought, I'll put him on, see what happens. Might be good.
Yeah, but Zidane.
He's managing Real Madrid. What is he? He's got, how does he have no idea? Yeah, it's just, it perfectly summed up the thing. Obviously, they lost the game, then they won the reverse 3-0. You know, it just sums up, again, 2016. It's like, the guy, manager of Real Madrid.
But it's Zidane.
Literally doesn't have, if it wasn't Zidane, he would have been turfed out of the job ages
ago. Yeah, but it's Zidane.
Well, exactly, and it is. I mean, this is, again, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, this is 2016. He doesn't have an idea what he's doing, putting the guy on. He's like, yeah, give it a go. Like, that's what Tim Sherwood does.
Like, bit Dr. Pepper. I quite like it. James, what is your quote?
It's a bit of an obscure one, but it comes via Mark Wilmots. Thierry Henry has been lauded from day dot for the last 20 years. He's a pretty, frankly, awful pundit, though, isn't he? And he was named Belgium assistant manager. This is what Mark Wilmots, the recently sacked Belgium coach, says. You can't work as a television commentator and work as a trainer for the national team. That is pure amateurism.
Wow.
Which I think describes Omri's post-retirement career as a player quite well.
Another dig for Gary Neville from someone in football there as well, to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, Loris Karius did come up with pretty much the best put-down of the year, just called out Neville's terrible experience at Valencia. And everyone kind of covered up the fact that Neville got absolutely owned by a 25-year-old goalkeeper.
Is the age and the position relevant to being worse owned by someone? Would it be if he was a 28-year-old like midfielder?
I think when people have in their minds that Gary Neville's this omniscient, omnipresent figure in football media, then definitely
he is at the moment, going by the amount of appearances he's making to explain football journalism and where it's going.
Yeah,
maybe he is. Maybe he is going to be our god in 2017. Individual performance of 2016. To sum it up for you, James.
Cristiano Ronaldo on the sidelines at Euro 2016. Just everything about Ronaldo perfectly kind of summed up in that game. That sort of remorseless will to win, even when he actually can't physically help Portugal win. I'm not a huge fan of his. I certainly think he's one of the great players of his generation. But I mean, what he's got that sort of no one else has in all of world football is that sort of killer desire, and he would not stop. I thought it was brilliant. The fact that Fernando Santos couldn't get a word in edgeways just made it all the funnier. It was brilliant.
It's a little bit like that Rocky film where Rocky can't fight anymore, so he trains up Tommy Gunn.
You mean the worst Rocky film by a mile?
Yeah, we've already said it wasn't a good tournament, so I think that's all.
Also, the end scene in that film is pretty good between...
Yeah. Go on,
Tommy
Rocky! Yeah. It's great. Go on, Cristiano, it works.
How good is Creed, by the way? Speaking of 2015? It might have been 2015.
The uncertainty means we must pass over it. Moving on. Individual performance has summed up 2016.
Sergio Ramos, UEFA Cup Super Cup.
I know you prepared these.
It's a theme, mate. It's a theme.
It is a theme. Have you got any others that spring to mind?
Yes, I do, but I'm going to use it for stat of the year. So.
Okay. we can come back to that in a second, though.
Okay, to sum up 2016.
I'm not sure how many more times you can retell Sergio Ramos from seven different angles.
He did it so many different times. This is the thing. This is why he's my player of the year. He didn't just do it once or twice or three times.
Okay.
Did it numerous times. To be different, then, let's say... I'm saying Andres Iniesta in the 2016 Copa del Rey final, because Barcelona had 10 men, and he's a small man. Playing in a two-man midfield. A small, pale man playing in a two-man midfield for 10 men against a rabid Sevilla side. You think, okay, this is, you're kind of toast. But he was absolutely just otherworldly. And he doesn't sum up 2016 because he was actually really good and not, you know, terrible. But he was just brilliant, dancing circles around everyone. And you're just thinking, how is this even possible? You're 33, you're 32 years old, you're tiny, and you're playing against the physical side, you know, Steven and Zonzi. Ava Benega, and it's like you're not only holding on, you're dominating them, you're running away from them like they're not even there. It was an incredible performance.
Individual performance of 2016 for you?
I think one which pretty much sums up his career was Balotelli's, I think it was second or third game at Nice. I think he scored in his first two games running, and everyone's like, oh, what's happening for him here? And he scored in the 86th, 85th minute. Yeah. Venice, and then he literally got sent off 60 seconds later.
And it was, yellow cards,
yeah, it's like, just never change.
Fair enough. Stat of the year.
Jamie Vardy going 700 minutes without a shot on target and then somehow scoring a hat-trick from three shots against Manchester City.
Beautiful.
Just.
It was something else, wasn't it?
I mean, 2016 in a nutshell, right? Like, this guy was one of the top scorers in Premier League, you know, gets completely found out, doesn't score, yeah, and then just 700 minutes without a shot on target.
You mean Ballon d'Or contender Jamie Vardy.
And then a hat-trick from three shots.
Eighth best player in the world.
Good Lord.
That's what the eighth best player in the world brings you.
James, what's your stat of the
My stat is the number three. That's the number of massively important goals Sergio Ramos scored in 2016.
It's spreading. I love it. James, what's your stat of the year?
Messi scored back-to-back hat-tricks in the Champions League, becoming only the second player to do so. Just mini quiz here, who's the first?
Ooh.
Was it Champions League or European Cup?
Champions League.
Ooh,
Champions League
okay.
player.
Okay. Hmm. Any guesses, guys?
Trezeguet.
Nope.
Was it Henri?
It wasn't. Mo, your guess?
I want to say Dado Persa, but it wasn't Dado Persa.
It was Luis Adriano for Shakhtar.
Wow.
So Messi joins the Hall of Greats there.
Luis Adriano was the second player to score five Champions League goals in one game.
Behind Messi.
Behind Messi.
Wow.
Blow
wow.
for blow they're going right now.
Let's go back to Rocky. And no, let's not do that. Controversy of the year that summed up 2016 for you. James, I'm going to come to you first.
Poppygate. It just boils the blood. Yesterday I was obviously, as we all know, yesterday news broke that FIFA fined the FA £35,000, which actually by FIFA standards is quite a lot.
More than they fined Croatia for
homophobic.
Yeah, and racist.
And racist well, chanting. Yeah.
I think there's only 10,000.
Yeah, which doesn't necessarily paint FIFA in the best light, which is odd because actually, in theory, this could have been an easy PR win for them. But when I was writing up that news article in quite a rush, as we all were at that time, I just caught myself and I thought, I don't remember what the score in that game was. And it kind of just reminds you of the way that that game, sort of England-Scotland, it should be one of the biggest games of the year. It got overtook by this kind of endless need by everyone to be seen to be sort of, to be seen to be doing something. And like, you know, it is totally reasonable to say that it's kind of only 20 years ago, England were playing on Remembrance Day on the 11th of November. And no one was paying any mind to the fact that they weren't wearing poppies yet. Now it's a sort of national outrage, which demands comments from Theresa May, and which we used to beat FIFA around the head remorselessly, despite the fact that actually, you know what, maybe football doesn't need, not every footballer needs to wear a poppy every single day. And maybe James McClane isn't an evil man for refusing to wear a poppy. I just wonder if maybe football is just a sport and we don't have to worry about what political statements we make in November and we could just get on with kicking a ball around. I know this isn't very funny.
I thought we were doing like a Stuart Lee with the punch at the end there.
It's like a Tolstoy novel, man.
But, yeah. But it's not funny. It's just stupid. And it's the FA just pandering to the outrage of the tabloid press yet again, just as they did when they sacked Sam Allardyce. And just someone just make it stop. It's driving me mad.
Well, will then. We will find a way to make it stop. James, what is your controversy of the year?
It's a pretty mild controversy next to
that. We might need that. We might need it.
It's when it basically summed up, speaking of someone who works for social media for my job every day, there's nothing more boring than after the game seeing Mesut Ozil, Per Mertesacker and Granit Xhaka tweet the exact same comment, "Yar Gunners, yar," and that strong arm emoji with just a picture. We go again. Every club does it. Every team's and players' social media is completely sanitised in the extreme so that they're not even functioning people anymore. They are essentially just robots. And that was no better exemplified but when Jermaine Defoe published a job spec for what was a slave/PR brand ambassador. And they wanted to design a designer perfume for Jermaine Defoe and take the bins out, which is quite a broad role. It has a lot of skill sets. I'm not sure what you go to uni for to prove.
You're playing with John O'Shea, the ultimate utility man, so why can't you just do that for him?
You'd think so. He's not playing centre-half much anymore. Mm. And another example of that was when Victoria Achebe copy and pasted a message from his PR manager. Can you tweet something like, and then it had the message and he copied it verbatim. How dim do you have to be to literally not even read something before tweeting it?
I don't want to try and outdo James here, but I think he's missed the best one of the year of those, which was a bizarre thing that happened in Jolyon Lescott's pocket. I don't know if you will remember his phone unlocked itself, opened Twitter, then opened Google Chrome, downloaded a picture of a Mercedes-Benz SLK AMG 500 grand car, attached that to a tweet, replied to someone, and tweeted that out all entirely by accident after Aston Villa had just got hammered yet again. I mean, talk about bad luck.
I know. He's got very dexterous thighs, though, Jolyon Lescott.
That must have been 100%.
The muscles on them are very chiselled, and they can type at no matter what you want.
Incredible. Your controversy of the year, man.
Well, this is going to be ridiculous now after that. Big Sam getting done, isn't it? Because he for just not being able to keep his mouth shut. In a boozer, basically. It sums up.
We've all been there, haven't we?
It sums up 2016. No, exactly. That's my point. It sums up 2016. He's just being a loudmouth in a pub because he feels, oh, I'm the big man. You know, got his dream job, literally his dream job. This is the one, and you know, the one for years. Everyone's like, give it Big Sam. You know, it was a meme. Then it became reality, and everyone's like, oh my god, what's going to happen? Then he said to Wayne Rooney, it's not for me to tell Wayne Rooney where to play, even though he's the manager. That's literally his job. you know, and then so you're thinking, oh god, this is going to be absolutely horrific post-truth stuff. And
there
then,
it is.
But then he just shot himself in the foot, and just like, you know, some most spectacularly 2016 kind of fashion, and ruined his dream. Basically.
I'd love to watch like a dramatized account of the final days of Sam or something. Like
HBO,
that. The summer of Sam.
HBO and BBC. It's called Mike Bassett. Yeah.
It's true. HBO and BBC contact Greg Johnson for scripting details.
Well, I mean, in the kind of in that Christmas season, you know, it's the Christmas season, and maybe this kind of acts as a good reminder to everyone in this season when we're all getting a bit, you know, merry after work. Don't drink a pint of wine and drive.
yeah, and don't try and get
it was
access
a pint
to
of wine as well, wasn't it?
It really was
a pint of wine. It's that's definitely what you do when you're being dined out. Oh, sod it, I'll have a pint of wine.
another journo tip there from a different James. If you are going to be dined out, get a pint of wine. But moving on now to a Would You Rather 2016 special. And you might have noticed on social media and in other areas of the football world, as James has alluded to already on this pod, that when people want to dismiss the achievements of a footballer or a manager, they'll often have a go at their opposition or the context with which their achievements have been made. So I want to know, from 2016, Mo, would you rather be a fraud or a farmer?
I'd rather be a farmer, and I'll tell you why. Because then at least you're working the land. You're contributing to society. You know,
you're getting beaten by Edison Cavani 6-0.
That's fine. I'm working the land. I'm producing food, helping to contribute to society.
He's playing for a mid-table league side as well, which is pretty good living. So.
just any Luton fans listening, we are joking here. We don't ascribe to the farmer definition, but it is quite funny, isn't it? Would you rather be the Wolf of Fraud Street? Or a farmer of Lorient.
You've hit the nail on the head there. I'd rather be a fraud because fraud is white collar crime. And you know, I'm Oxbridge
educated.
I'm Oxbridge educated. I don't want to be a farmer.
All right, mate.
Bong.
James, what about yourself? Fraud or farmer?
Absolutely a fraud. Absolutely.
You wouldn't be a lavender farmer or a cheese feeder.
We got that one the other day. It was he's playing against accountants and lavender farmers. Accountants? What a precise type of farmer?
See, what I blame for this is, you know when, like, England play San Marino and you get going, well, their left-back is a recently educated accountant as a surveyor. And it's like part-time jobs? It's like people have started to think, well, it's like you dismiss a team now.
I mean, Jeffrey Archer showed there's always a comeback for a fraud. Mm. So I'd rather be a fraud.
Mm. Fair enough. So, speaking of frauds, no, I can't say that, it's a terrible thing to say, but would you rather be Harry Kane on set pieces or Mesut Ozil marking a post against Everton? James?
I'd rather be Mesut Ozil marking the post at Everton because, I mean, I know this week has proven otherwise, but Arsenal fans will forgive you anything if your name's Mesut Ozil.
I think we'll probably find that out in 2017, won't we?
Oh, absolutely. It won't be long.
They won't forgive him when he doesn't sign that new contract.
It won't be long till everyone's tweeting 95% pass accuracy.
At us, actually. They'll probably be tweeting at us.
But then it'll be Gail Clichy-ing himself and going to Man City or something, and then they won't be happy.
We'll have to see. You have to see. I might be like Sanchez, right? Would you rather be Harry Kane on set pieces, corners, or free kicks, or Mesut Ozil marking the post, man?
I'd rather be Harry Kane on set pieces, because, you know, there's a good chance that one in maybe 50 will actually work. Mm. You know, whereas Mesut Ozil doesn't stand a chance on the post, does he? The guy has a defensive... instincts of a badger. Not a badger.
Badgers are pretty defensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, like a beetle. Or like,
they've got a good shell, though. Again, they're quite defensive.
Yeah, and they go on
it's
their
hard
backs,
to think of an animal that isn't a lot of animals good actually defensively.
Quite... The ones... Worm. Chicken.
The ones that are extinct chicken. Are probably the ones without chicken the defense mechanisms, isn't it?
Wings that can't fly.
Chicken. Penguins.
Chicken, yeah, they can't even fly.
I mean, my moment of 2016, though, wider scale, was those lions on that, what was it, that buffalo on Planet Earth 2. Any of you watched it? That was great TV.
It was the iguanas running out, the snakes.
Yeah, that was like that.
Such
Michael
an
Bay
obvious
couldn't make a
choice.
Well, sometimes the best one is the best one. I'd rather be good at set pieces and be able to mark a post. There you go. There's a sit on the fence. No, Harry Kane is genuinely one of the worst free kick takers I've ever seen. So I'd rather be Mesut Ozil marking a post because it's pretty easy.
Fair enough. Now to bring it all back to the theme of the moment: winter break or festive football, James.
I mean, I think there's a halfway house you can do, certainly. We definitely stretch out fixtures too much during winter, but Boxing Day is traditional, isn't it? I like a Boxing Day game. I like a New Year's Day game. But just don't have the 27th and 28th and all that nonsense in between. So, to answer your question, both.
James, winter break or festive football?
Can we have a winter break, please? Because I have to work on Boxing Day. I don't want to work on Boxing Day. You lot will all be at home.
I'm working Boxing Day as well.
I'm working Boxing Day as well.
We're all working Boxing Day. listeners, we're all working Boxing Day. Woe is us.
We're recording this now because we're all going to be at matches during the festive period. So this is going to be out later than we're actually recording it.
It's a hard life, isn't it?
I quite like it, though. I mean, the whole thing of Christmas with the family, it gets a bit boring. As football journalists, we don't get that. We get to opt out for a little bit, don't we? It's great.
Yeah.
No? No, fair enough. Winter break for James. Winter break or festive football for you, man?
Well, I'm a Muslim, so festive football. You know, Christmas is just a day, mate. Although I do watch Home Alone and Die Hard, so... You know,
Die Hard is a very good Christmas.
You know, but I mean, apart from that, as long as I can watch those two films, I don't mind. So, yeah, festive football is great fun.
Fair enough.
Like Mac, I do agree, there needs to be a break in there somewhere because you're just going to run players into the ground. But, you know, yeah, festive football all the way.
Fair enough. So we're going to move on now to... we've already had one quiz from Mr. McManus. We're going to do a quiz between James Benge and Mohamed Putnow. It's Squawker versus 2016 edition. Not three questions. It's a bumper edition. There's five questions.
Oh, good Lord.
And you know what? This isn't going to count into the series. So whoever wins this wins it for 2016. It's either going to be externals or Squawker. So no pressure, lads. This is a big one.
So I've got all of Fleet Street.
You do?
Relying on me.
And Fleet.com, wherever the internet ones live. So first question in our Take It or Leave It final quiz of the year special is: who has contributed the most goals and assists combined, so that's scoring and creating, in the Premier League for the whole of 2016? Oh, it's James.
Alexis Sanchez.
Wrong. Mo.
Harry Kane.
Incorrect. It's Diego Costa. 30 in total so far. That may change at the end of December, but we're recording the pod on December the 20th. So as of now, those stats are correct. The next question has options.
Ooh.
So please do, you know, wait to hear them. Who has completed the most passes in the calendar year 2016 in the Premier League? So option A, Jordan Henderson. Option B, Cesar Azpilicueta. Option C, Eric Dier. Or option D, Mesut Ozil. James, is that a hand?
Yep. Azpilicueta.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Eric Dier.
Oh, incorrect as well. It was Ozil.
What?
Yeah,
really?
for the whole of 2016, yeah. Henderson, you started passing in August.
Nicking a living. Not worth two, Bob.
We're not doing well so far, are we?
Third question. It's 0-0. No one's going to win the year, right? Is it most successful dribbles in the Premier League in 2016? So that's from January to today, which is December the 20th. Your four options. I think it's helpful to have options for this one as well. A, Zaha. B, Hazard. C, Sanchez. Thought you'd like that. Or D, Ross Barkley. First with the hands?
Yeah, it's going to be Alexis, isn't it?
Oh, incorrect. James.
It's got to be Wilf.
It is. It's Wilf Zaha. Oh, 1-0 to the journalists. Not that we aren't journalists.
Watch the Premier League, mate. Honestly,
post-truth.
There is La Liga interest in this next question, so this might be the one you bring it back. So, after Messi and Ronaldo, who has contributed the most goals and assists combined in the Champions League, as including the knockout stages of last year's competition and the group stages of this year's competition, in 2016? You've got four options again. A, Antoine Griezmann. B, Neymar. C, Luis Suarez. Or D, Robert Lewandowski. James.
Griezmann.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I'm going to go Luis Suarez.
Incorrect as well. It's Neymar. Neymar. It is.
Of course it is, because he's got seven assists this year.
Indeed. Fifth and final question.
Oh, I'm scoring one this.
It is. It is. Which
this is
team...
like the Germany versus Italy penalty shootout, isn't it?
Which team have created the most chances in the Premier League in 2016? We're talking about a team, not players here. You've got four options again. A, Liverpool. B, Spurs. C, Chelsea. Or D, Manchester United.
It's going to be Liverpool.
Incorrect.
Oh, come on. See, I knew you put it. Bet it's Man United.
It's not. It's B Spurs, but you still win, James.
This is just
it's 1-0 via Wilfried Zaha. So what are you going to do with 2016? That is your prize.
I mean, first of all, mega thanks to Wilf. I knew he'd come good eventually.
He helped you to take the ball past Mo. So it has a take
exactly,
on itself.
Exactly. Exactly. It's one successful take on to James Benj. And Wilf, stay with us. Don't go to the Ivory Coast, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's a message to Wilf, really. He's won this for me.
I like it. You've really taken this as an opportunity to do some, fair enough. Speaking of which, this might tie into what we're going to do now. We're going to now move on to our final section of the podcast. Before the year is out, before the show ends, it's New Year's resolutions for football in 2017. I want to know three things you'd like football to do differently, more of, less of, or some other qualifier that would make your answer worth listening to. So, James, you are the winner of 2016, the whole year. What are you going to change in 2017?
The first thing I'd like to change, I know it'll never happen, I'd just like there to be fewer transfers. I'm just finding buying players really boring, and I'd be really interested to see what would happen if everyone in the Premier League just kind of, and in other leagues as well, just kind of took an attitude of, okay, you know, everyone in the competition has got nice, decent squads. Let's see what we can do with this. Which ties into my second point, which is more patience across English football, because Gary Rowett has just been sacked.
Yeah,
8th in the Championship with Birmingham City.
Why is he regarded as the most promising young manager in football as well?
Yeah, but I mean, Gianfranco Zola like got West Ham relegated, so yeah. And he's cool. Zola, he scored that back heel. So you've got to get him on board. As a native of Birmingham, I hope I'm allowed to say this, but Birmingham City are not a big team. You know, they're not even the biggest team in Birmingham, and Birmingham has no sort of public profile. And Gary Rowett was working wonders, but just got sacked for no apparent reason. So fewer transfers, more patience, and one last thing, just a request to broadcasters. Like, just let us watch the football that we're all watching anyway. Just like get rid of this stupid 3 p.m. blackout. Doesn't help anyone. And actually just let people watch football. They'll pay you a lot more if they can watch the games they want to watch.
I feel like that was like a gritty reboot of John Motson versus Brian Clough there. I loved it.
Sorry, again, not bringing the laughs.
I like just it. Things to I like it. It's the substance at the heart of our Christmas pie. That's what we need. James, what are your New Year's resolutions for 2017?
Number one is just less Robbie Savage for everyone. I think that's a public service that we could all do with less Robbie Savage in 2017.
But doesn't that mean Guardiola's got to win more? Because if he loses, Robbie Savage is going to keep getting his kicks.
Oh, too, yeah, that's some hard-hitting stuff right there, isn't it?
And if you lose Savage, are you opening the door for more Chris Sutton? I mean, I like Chris Sutton, but...
I think you are, but don't. Chris Sutton eventually, he's like... Dredrick Tatum when he's fighting Homer Simpson, he'll punch himself out eventually, won't he? There's only so much critique you can get in a year. Number two is just for clubs to stop announcing absolute nonities of commercial deals like they actually mean anything to anyone. Man United announced their mobile telephone provider for Singapore or something. I was like, what does that actually have to do with anything? That is completely pointless. And number three would be people classifying fantasy football assists as real assists. If someone hits the post and then it goes out across the goal, that is not an assist. He did not mean that. If someone wins a penalty, that is not an assist. He did not mean to win a penalty. He meant to score a goal. So people blurring the lines between real data and just, you know, playing a game data would be number three. Settling again, bring scores. In the laughs.
we've got to get 2017 in the right spirit. We've got to correct the world, make it right. What are you going to edit about football in the next year, Mo?
The first thing is I'd like the English press to stop waiting and praying and squealing and hoping that Guardiola fails, because, you know, get over yourself, basically. It's not going to happen. He will come good. I mean, they're clearly, you know, it's just pathetic. It's just like Savage saying that he's whatever he was saying, and I think it was Keown said that blood-curdling challenges are as appreciated as goals in football. And I'm like, what? You know, just, I know you look like a caveman, but don't actually think like one.
Not to name names, actually. not to name names, but when we did a little study in-house a few months ago, and I asked people, like, where would you value certain things in football? I had like a whole list of events that come on the pitch, like goals, assists, dribbles, and kind of stuff. Someone put tackles first and goals eighth. So these people are out there, Mo. They are among us.
Snakes in the
not
grass.
In this room, I've got to say.
No, I'm gonna say it right now. I love a tackle.
I love a tackle, but would you have it ahead of goals and assists and wonderful free kicks and stuff?
Where is the tackle taking place? Is it on the slide? All of these are, I mean, you know, if it's a quality, I mean, I'm thinking Sol Campbell when he slid so far, he kind of slid out of Wembley and all the way back to the Emirates.
Yeah, but I feel like you've got to then judge. If you're talking about elite tackles, and I realise that people use the word elite are awful, we're talking about elite tackles, and you've surely got to compare it to elite goals as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Like, I mean, there's no tackle in the world that can compare to Cristiano Ronaldo scoring from 40 yards against Osasuna and then just pointing at his quadricep muscle going, look at it. You know, you can't.
Jim, what do you reckon?
Sol
that,
Campbell, sliding all the way.
Didn't even have to point at anything.
That is true. Okay, so my next thing. First thing is, yeah, you just get over the Guardiola thing. Just, you know, he's amazing. The second thing is embrace tactical variants. For the love of God, can we just stop with 4-2-3-1? Can we just leave it in 2016? It's horrible. I mean, you can maybe get away with playing it certain ways, but it just got awful. Stop it. No more. More three at the back, more 4-3-3. Just fun stuff, you know? And the final point, I was going to say, you know, can we have an end to all this post-truth nonsense? But that's not actually a
bingo,
choice.
Did it again.
That's not actually a choice anymore. Come back, is it? People aren't deliberately trying to do that. That's why it's post-truth. So, you know, my last point is not really a conscious choice, the final point here. But, I mean, you know, just can we just have no more post-truth nonsense, please? Can we actually just start going back to football teams, good football teams, winning football matches with the occasional upset thrown in here and there to keep things fresh? You know, none of this absolute nonsense with just...
No more Leicesters. You don't want any more Leicesters.
No, Leicester weren't post-truth, my friend. Oh. Leicester were not. Leicester were fully deserved. No, just can we just
this
end
this? It's got a bit network now. This is
can we just end this? End this just nonsense.
The podcast.
No. The podcast. Well, actually, we can end the podcast if you like. But you know.
We're going to end the podcast and in some ways end 2016. It's been a mixed bag of a year, an onion bag. No, we're not going to go down that route. But Mo, thank you very much for coming on the pod.
It's been my pleasure.
To look at the year that's been.
And it's now warmer in the pod room, I should say.
It is. We are approaching spring. It is 2016.
Post-truth temperature.
Post-chill. Post-chill. That's very right. James Bench from the London Evening Standard. What are you going to be? You're going to be working over Christmas, you say?
Yeah, a little bit. That and, you know, watching Die Hard and Star Wars.
Nice. In the press room or at home?
Oh, no, during the game. It's Arsenal West Brom.
James, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm just going to be drinking Bailey's Cream by the pint.
Bailey's Cream, that makes it sound like it's not Bailey's, it's like a knockoff version.
It could be an offshoot, it could be off brand.
Macca, I thought you said it was a pint of wine was where it was. Where it was at,
yeah, right? I mean, that's what you have first, that's the start. Oh, okay. Bailey's Cream's the
name.
You
know, I once met Tommy Walsh of Ground Ground Force fame, and he was drinking a pint of Baileys. That's incredible, isn't it?
He is 12 foot, to be fair.
He's the biggest man I've ever met. And I'm
not a normal size Baileys.
Why are these glasses so small? It's a
Why
pint,
are you giving
me
a thimble? What is this? But yeah, I mean, that's not my moment of 2016 because it happened when I was a child. So we'll have to move on now. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. And there will be more podcasts in 2017. We're not going away. Technology is continuing. The dark ages have not begun. So computers will still exist in 2017 and so will our podcast. So do join us then as we delve into more audio-based football, humour and discussion. I've been Greg Johnson. Thank you for joining the Squawker Talker in 2016. It's been a wonderful year. It's been great to have you. And do check out squawker.com for more great articles, analysis and more. See you again soon and have a great new year.